Joey Page on FUBAR Radio.
We've got something.
Ooh. Good afternoon, people with ears.
Now, a new sound. Very melodic.
A nice slice of psych.
A good, solid sound.
This is a music show, is it?
Yeah.
The music.
Oh, no, could I to be cruel?
The instruments.
Just like a giant Twix.
The voices.
Guess what my name is? It's Joey Page.
And it's ready to go.
Wow, you know.
Now, play it.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, unless you're listening at a different time than good whatever time of day it is to you. I'm Joey Page. It's my show, The Joey Page Show, the new alternative music show on FUBAR Radio, where I'm allowed to run roughshod over the music business and truly play and have on guests that I actually like and truly be able to turn around and say, oh, I don't like that, so I'm not going to play it, and I think they're rubbish. Not like some other DJs. I am allowed to speak my mind. So, if you're up for a bit of that, welcome to the show. I tell you what, I'm going to start by saying this. Boy, am I on good form today, right? Sometimes you just know if it's going to be a good show or not, right? When you're just about to do the show and something happens, right? I had to go to the toilet just before the show. A couple of, let's be kind and say, middle-aged ladies were stood on the stairs in my way. Now, obviously, the show starts at a certain time. I didn't do my due diligence. I needed a wee. I only had 3 minutes till the show started. I was like, I can make it there and back. Easy peasy. Wash my hands. Everything, right? But there was these two middle-aged ladies on the stairs. Normally, I get a bit flustered by that. But I simply dropped them a lovely little look. And they said, sorry, I don't know why we're blocking and you from getting down to the toilets by standing on the stairs talking. I said, because that's where the cool kids chat. And they both laughed. And I thought, today is going to be a good show. I'm in a good mood. It's a lot of lasts today. It's producer Abby's last show. See you later, mate. And also, it's my last show before I go on my honeymoon to America for a month. Which means that I'll probably talk about it when I get back for a show. But otherwise, we can finally stop bloody talking about my honeymoon. So I know it gets brought up a lot. Whenever I talk to any bands that have been to America or from America, I've heard of America or seen America on the TV, I will invariably bring it up. And today it will be no different, I'm afraid. But only two more shows of that. There's going to be a month's break where I'm not on, where we'll play some best bits of the show. Because they couldn't find anybody good enough to cover for me, probably. Well, nobody as good as me to cover, certainly. And so today's show, I'm going to kind of give you a bit of homework, a bit like if it was the summer holidays and I gave you the task of reading 7 books at the library, and if you could prove how many of them you listened to, when you came back, you'd get a nice like bookworm sticker or badge or something, right? I'm going to give you some summer holidays, even though it's not the summer, but it is my holidays, homework. Because we're doing, I'm calling today's show, I haven't run this past any of the producers, why would I, she's leaving, who cares. It's Future Shock today. I'm going to be playing all the bands that I'm excited about for this year. And sure, I probably should have done that last week on my first show back, but I didn't. I'm doing it today. Gives you something to investigate, some people to listen to while I'm away, some people to anticipate the work that they've got coming out. Okay? Can you do that for me? It's up to you. I don't mind if you do or you don't. I'm not going to be here. And when I come back, hopefully, you'll have not forgotten about me. So, I am going to do a slightly different intro to the show today. I'm going to tell you what's coming up on the other side of my first song. And that is simply because, as sometimes happens in life, it's just life. You lose people pass away. Normally in the music industry or whatever, we might do a little obituary or, you know, a little nod to somebody notable that's passed away. But somebody that was a friend of mine died far too young this week, so I thought, mainly because I'd like to clip this up and send it to his wife, and hopefully she'll take some comfort from this. I wanted to do a kind of little mini tribute to him on the show. He's not a friend that I spent like loads of time with in recent years, but certainly as I was starting out as a stand-up comedian, we used to hang out quite a bit together. He was the housemate of the musician Kieran Leonard, who we've had on the show a few times in the past, and we spent some time up at the Edinburgh Festival together. We had a lot of drunk nights, and basically his name's Joe Morris, and he was the same height as the wrestler Giant Haystacks, so I would always refer to him as Haystacks, and was literally just one of the nicest, most sound human beings on the planet. He would do anything for anyone. He was a really nice guy. I had to go to his funeral yesterday. There was literally hundreds of people there. And yeah, it was just, I thought it'd be nice to pay a touching little tribute to him. One of the songs that was played at his funeral, I'm going to play here on the show. He died at the age of only 34 from, and I'm definitely not going to be able to pronounce this properly, oral squamous cell carcinoma, which is a very rare form of cancer. And there is an incredible in its bravery, and also just in the story that it tells and the picture that it paints. The Guardian actually made a short film with him about knowing that you're going to die. And if you're interested in seeing that, I wouldn't advise you do it before you go to like someone's party or something. But, you know, if you've got a bit of time to yourself and you want to have a look into it, if you go on the Guardian website or Google Guardian and Dying Young is Not What You Think, you can watch the video to that. And also maybe that will make you think, oh, maybe I'll donate a bit of money to cancer research and stuff like that. But anyway, this is a little tribute to Joe Morris. And this is Do You Remember the First Time by Pulp. We will start the show in our usual fashion after this.
Again. Oh, now it's 8:30. You'll be late. Just as long.
Yeah, so there we go. That is a tribute to my friend Joe Morris, a.k.a. Haystacks. Right, so let me tell you what's coming up on today's show. Also, it's at this point that I want to say honeymoon's cancelled because, talking about at the beginning, Julia, who is the manager of the station, came rushing in and went, you know, you're going to need the paper bit for your driving licence if you're going to be driving across America. Didn't know that. Don't know where it is. So might as well not bother going. I'll see you next week. I'm here next week. Cancel the holiday. Let me tell you what's coming up on the show today. As well as today being a show that for some reason that I don't even know why, the show is titled Future Shock, because I'll be playing you, not that it's not that different to any other week, I play you loads of up and coming new great musicians, but these are all the people that I've got my eye on for 2019. What? For 2020. I did that on purpose. So let me tell you who's on the show today as well. As playing tracks by people that I'm looking forward to the work of coming out this year. We've got Josh, who is the mastermind behind the project Alex Chilltown, which I will be asking him why the project is called that. I'm sure there's a story behind it, but it's a very unusual name for a project, and I'm looking forward to finding out about a bit more about that. Also, just had an album come out, Eulogies, so we'll be talking to him about how the release has gone, obviously, what it's like to bring out a debut, all that kind of stuff, and possibly, most thrillingly of all, we'll be having a chat about being from Croydon. Not that I'm from Croydon. Not that there's anything wrong with being from Croydon, but he's from Croydon. Also, on the show today, we have got psychedelic three-piece with no lead singer, a fully instrumental band. Japanese TV are coming in the studio, and assistant producer Will has come up with a fun game based around Japanese TV, which I'll be looking forward to getting into with them. And big, big, huge guests. You'll know from listening to last week's show, they were top of the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever, which incident is coming up after this announcement. The Orioles, Sid from the Orioles will be on the phone and we'll be having a lovely chat about fish, because I feel like they do a lot of like naming things after fish. Silver Dollar Moments, that's their debut album. Now this one, Disco Volador, which is a flying fish, even though they've said in their press that it's a like flying disc kind of thing, you know, like a frisbee, I don't know, but that's what they've said in there. So I'm gonna be like, what's the deal with all this fish business? I'm gonna phrase it exactly like that. They also refer to trousers in their band as trout. I'll be like, nice trout for nice trousers. So a lot of fish stuff. Got to get to the bottom of it. That's what's coming up on today's show, along with the barometer, which is up next. And if we've got time, we will squeeze in our nice slice of psych. And also, David Bowie, record of the week. It is obviously themed around my honeymoon. Surprise, surprise, see if you can guess which one it is, if you like. Or if not, you don't have to do anything. Just sit back and listen and enjoy the show. The barometer is coming up after this. But first, one of my big hopes for 2020 is the London-based duo consisting of Katie Young and Rosa Slade. They're called Peggy Sue. In Dreams is taken from their fourth album, Vices, which comes out on the 21st of February. I played Motorcade a few times on the show, which is the lead single from the forthcoming album, and I really like it a lot. It's actually made it onto my Driving Across America playlist. Did I mention I'm driving across America? And so I'm very excited for this album to come out. And let's have a listen to this latest effort. It's called In Dreams. They're on tour throughout February, March and April in the UK as well. So if you're listening and you're in the UK, then go and see them. If you're not, maybe come visit. I don't know. Also, if you're not listening, if you're not, I mind you listening from outside the UK, but how did you even know this is going on? Well done to you. Anyway, this is Peggy Sue In Dreams. When I come back, we'll do the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. We'll be right back. There we go. That is In Dreams by Peggy Sue. And as I said, the album is coming out on the 21st of February and it's called Vices. Looking forward to that. It's their first album since 2014. So, yeah. I mean, I've only just recently discovered them in the last 6 months. But maybe I'll do some backdated listening. And maybe you can too, whilst I'm away on your little errand of albums and artists that I give you to listen to. So, we are now going to embark on the murky trail into the depths of the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. Okay, so it's the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever on the Joey Page Show, where I get to trap off about things that are good or annoying or whatever. Put them in some sort of table. Banish the worst ones, the worst offenders from the show, play my favourite, and talk about the things that I don't really understand in the middle. So, not a lot of positive stuff am I going to leave you on. There's a lot of positive stuff, but that's all in this week's episode of the show, with the musicians that I want you to keep an eye on for 2020. But a lot of negative stuff I've got to run through here. I still think there can only be one thing relegated from the show. There could be loads, but they're all surrounding one thing. But it's too easy to put the one thing in because the one thing's been in there so many times. Anyway, let's start in the middle. There is a commemorative £5 coin coming out to commemorate the band Queen. Right? Queen are alright. Queen are good. But I just feel like probably something better. Just something to think about. Okay. I said last week that Milton Keynes Bowl is being the host to Knotfest. Well, now Milton Keynes Bowl, or as I'm going to rename it, Hell, is hosting My Chemical Romance. Who's still going to see them? Will's just put his hand up. I knew it as soon as I said it. His cheeky little face. Similarly, Slipknot, they're doing a book signing in Birmingham. What is it? Who's going to these things? This should just be called a section called Who's Going, right? So I've got another one of these in a minute. But, like, the people that go to these kind of shows, the only way... Is it because it's the only way they can express their emotions? To sew patches onto jackets and scream into large empty Coke cups because they don't know how to express themselves any other way. Nerds. Weird, don't like to go out in the sunlight nerds. Following a guy around in a mask, says the guy that likes MF Doom. But that's different. At least you can see his mouth. Also, the guy from Slipknot. I haven't bothered to look up his name. Corey someone, I don't know. Yeah, right? Has had a go at the Democrats, saying if they don't pull themselves together, then Trump's going to win the election. They're not going to take advice from a guy who wears a mask. Also, I think it's bad cultural appropriation for white people to have dreadlocks. Sorry. It's just how I feel. Also, in a similar vein, who's going? Catfish and the Bottlemen are playing a 10,000 capacity tent on Clapham Common in May. Who's going to this? Seriously? Teenage Cancer Trust. They have booked, surprise, surprise, Noel Gallagher, the Stereophonics, and Paul Weller for their run of Teenage Cancer Trust gigs. Are they the only three people that the Teenage Cancer Trust know? Every year is the Stereophonics, Noel Gallagher, and Paul Weller. Get someone else. I've probably got some contacts I can give you if you're struggling. However, All the news that is going to lead to relegations from the show today surrounds our good old enemy, Matty Healy, in the 1975. So, he's come out and said that their new album is going to be pushed back by another couple of months. That puts it near the top of the barometer. Also putting them near the top of the barometer, they have confirmed they're not headlining Glastonbury. Hooray! However, he has described his new album as seminal. And the 1975 feel more like a punk band than ever before. I don't think so, pal. And also, they've been accused of stealing lyrically or musically from Maroon 5, right? That is like a dead person stealing from a tramp. But it's not the 1975 as a whole that I'm banning from the show. It's too easy. I banned them from the show so many times. It's the NME, because this tells you where the NME is headed as a publication, website, whatever it is these days. The 1975 are closing the NME Awards. How disgusting is that for the future of new and alternative music, which it purports to be the champion of, which I do not believe. So the NME, you are banned from the show, which is a shame because I got most of this information from the NME's website. Let's end it on the positive note that we like to on the barometer. Let's find out who has won today's barometer. Like I said, not a lot of good stuff other than all the stuff I'm playing on the show today. So near the top of the barometer, other than the fact that 1975 are not headlining Glastonbury, that's a good piece of news. Today's edition of the show is in there. That's a good piece of news. Future Shock, all the up and coming bands of 2020. But the winner is, this is a song I just can't get out of my head. It's grown and grown and grown on me, and now it lives inside my mind. It's the new song by James Wrighton, who, you may remember, I interviewed. He did the soundtrack to Simon Amstel's film. I interviewed him and Simon Amstel back at some point last year. You can listen to that while I'm away if you want, if you're pining for me. And you can listen to that interview again on the Fubo Radio website. But this is called The Devil Is Loose, and it's a beautiful piece of music. It's from his forthcoming album, which is an album about fatherhood and his relationship with Keira Knightley. And it's out on the 20th of March. It's called The Performer. This is The Devil Is Loose. After this, I'll be getting the fantastic Josh from Alex Chilltown in the studio to talk about his debut album. But here we go. This is the top of the barometer for today. It's The Devil Is Loose by James Wrighton on Fubo Radio. Devil Is Loose by James Wrighton from the forthcoming album The Performer, which is out in March. Very excited about that coming out. And I would say that I'm equally, if not more, excited to welcome my first guest of the afternoon. It's Josh, the mastermind behind Alex Chilltown. Welcome to the show, Josh. How are you doing?
I am good. I had a pretty good journey here. Saw someone who looked like Jimmy Nail on the bus.
Did you? Interesting. Oh, well, I tell you what. Never has there been a better opening gambit to an interview than that. Did you? Because, right, I once saw Suggs on the Overground.
Sounds like madness.
Very good. And I was almost certain that it was him, right? Mm. And I thought, I wonder, does Suggs have an Oyster or a paper ticket? So I followed him up the, and I lost sight of him. But I'll never know. But I'm almost certain it was him. So how much of you, percentage-wise, did you think might have been Jimmy Nail, or was it just like there's no way?
It was about 20 years too young.
Right.
It was,
okay.
It was
so
definitely it? like if the time machines have been invented in the universe that Jimmy Nail lives in, which is this one, I guess.
Well, I don't know. When was the last time you saw him?
That is true. Maybe Jimmy Nail is a time traveller.
I mean, if you'd produced the kind of music that Jimmy Nail had produced, maybe you would go back and come back as a different person a bit later on.
Yeah.
But very good in Alfida's own pet, for my money.
Yep.
That's showing my age.
It's a 1975 tie-in there.
Now, I know that a lot of your music is kind of centred around this idea of a sort of living in a very busy kind of concrete-y jungle that is Croydon, mm-hmm. which I just found out off air that you've just moved from. So mm-hmm. so your commute wasn't from Croydon to here, but have you gone somewhere? Have you traded up from Croydon or down?
It's slightly just moved kind of across South London, living near Wimbledon now.
So it's, okay.
It's yeah. Still on a lot of the same lines, but it's, you know, a bit like greener, mm-hmm. a bit less concrete-y, but still.
And do you think that's going to affect the feeling of your sound, having a bit more recreational space?
I don't know. I think so far it's getting a bit bigger, a bit wider. So maybe that will do.
A bit expansive, yeah.
A bit more expansive, yeah.
Now, I made a mistake, which is very unlike me on the show. Just leave that pause for people listening to just laugh in the gap. That I said that Eulogies was out. In fact, it comes out this Friday. I thought it was out last Friday. So how are you feeling ahead of the release?
Yeah, it's really exciting. The response to it's been really nice. Heard lots of really nice things. So just looking forward to kind of it. It's been kind of a long time coming, so it's just kind of nice to kind of get out and let people hear it.
How long would you say, like, from the inception of the of the project, which I need to. I do understand that it's a tongue-in-cheek name, but I don't. I wanted to ask you where it comes from so I can understand it.
So, Alex Chilton was the singer in Big Star.
Okay.
A band back in the day. And it was kind of like around the time everyone was kind of doing pun names, and we were just kind of spitballing around a table at, we were at the Windmill in Brixton.
Oh, yeah.
Just at like an all-dayer and just like spitballing names for stuff. And then I...
An all-day of recording or an all-day of drinking? Or both?
An all-day of just watching kind
watching
of...
Watching bands.
Watching bands. It was having a barbecue. And then it came up and, yeah.
Cool. And are you the kind of musician that likes to go to things like that, like an all-dayer, and you almost get inspiration from seeing lots of people, or do you like to get your inspiration from other places?
A bit of everywhere, really. Like, I think those things are quite good because it's like something can like catch you off guard, and then like you'll hear something in like a different context, and then it'll just kind of spark an idea, and then kind of you can run with it.
Yeah. I think I can identify with that as well. It seems to be a smart way of doing stuff. So, tell us about how the mechanics of this project, because you've had people come in and do various parts, but you've written the whole thing. It's like you're almost like the project manager, but you know, you've also drawn up the blueprints and all that kind of stuff, and then you've got people to come in and do certain bits and pieces. So just it gives a bit more of a background on the whole the whole shebang.
It was just like it kind of started where like I was just kind of writing on guitar and then taking it to our drummer at the time, because it started as like a two-piece.
Yeah.
But then as it's gradually expanded outwards, it was just a case of like me writing more with the laptop and learning how to arrange stuff. And it's like when you can have a laptop, you can kind of think about things differently. So it's not like, oh, this is a guitar part, or this is a bass part, or this is a synth part. It's just like, this is a melody, let's just move this around and like use the software to kind of like...
Now, as a layman who has never even attempted any of that, did you find that quite daunting to get into initially, or is it something that you just got a natural flair for, or is it like something that anybody can kind of dabble in it?
I have kind of a very rubbish attention span, so it's basically what would basically happen is it would just be something that I would keep going back to, so you just kind of mess around with it, and it's like at first you kind of you're not really sure what you're doing, but then you kind of you learn kind of more of what you're doing, and like it's just something that you have to kind of put the time into, I think, to just kind of get the hang of.
Because I also have like a really short attention span, but then when I get into things like video editing or something, then once I'm in it, I'm like, I'll stay in it for ages. Like I was just saying to you off air about how we're talking about your single that we're going to play, Barely Awake, and how like I don't think having 9 coffees a day really helps me with my attention span either.
Yeah, but I think I've got a similar habit. So like this morning we ran out of milk, but I still wanted another coffee. So we did have some double cream left, and I'd heard in America that's a thing.
Yes, it very much is, and you're really living the high life with that.
Yes, very good. It's very nice.
Have you ever had condensed milk in a coffee?
I have not, no.
Oh, man, that changes the game. Especially if you, like... So, once... Like, if you go away to, like, remote places, not everyone's got fridges, so they, like... I was in Borneo and everywhere's got condensed milk because they don't need a fridge for it or whatever. But it kind of caramelises a bit, and then when you have the tea or the coffee, you get to the bottom and there's just like a big syrup that you can like spoon out. I don't even know what I'm saying. It's the worst habit to get into.
I mean, there probably are worse ones.
I think it's worse than smoking. I'm gonna put that on the line and say that right here, right now. It's a nightmare.
I will have to take your word for it.
So why did you decide to... And I think it's a brilliant title and very striking and really grabs your attention. But why Eulogies for the album?
It was kind of like one of the first songs that we wrote. So like Eulogies is the first track on the album. But it's like I always try and look at what I'm doing instinctively and then try and work out why I did it, because I think that kind of leads you to where you can go next. And it's kind of like I think maybe because I was kind of moving on and going somewhere else, it's kind of like Eulogies. It's like this is kind of the end of something and then the start of something new, and it's kind of like I really like that as kind of an image.
Yeah, right. It feels like a very personal and like very kind of weighty connotations to it. Like you've like really immersed yourself in the world that you're writing about and making music about. So why did you decide that you wanted to to work within the confines of Croydon? Because obviously it must be really difficult to work out what you want to base a whole album's worth of stuff on. But what was it about the sort of closeness and the claustrophobia of Croydon that really grabbed you?
I think it's just like a kind of like, I guess maybe like growing up on like David Bowie and stuff, and like the concept albums and stuff. And I know Bowie hated Croydon very famously, but like as well, like I was listening to an interview with someone, and apparently there's a really good quote from Brian Eno where he said something like, pop music isn't like making music in the traditional form, it's more like building a world and then inviting people in.
Yeah.
And I found, so like Croydon kind of like as a concrete claustrophobic place is like a really good space for that, because it is this kind of natural world that you can kind of like highlight.
Because I don't know if I'm explaining it so well, but for people that have not been there, it does have a very foreboding feel. Like, it feels a very unfriendly place, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just, it's very much like, it's hard to describe, because it's just, it is just Croydon. It's like a case of like, I don't know, yeah, it's very like, you have to kind of experience it. It's kind of, it's got, even though it's not quite London and it's not quite Surrey, it's just kind of its own. And it has like a very specific kind of like visual language, I guess, and it's like lots of
concrete. Yeah, it's like got quite harsh architecture and stuff. And I think, you know, like there's a lot of big flyovers and a lot of concrete everywhere, as you mentioned.
Yeah, it's like, so an academic concept that I'm really interested in, which I kind of think hangs over the record, is the concept of hauntology. So the idea of hauntology is it's like ghosts of the future. So it's like the way I would imagine it is like, you're looking at like a building that was built in the 60s that was meant to kind of formulate a future that never quite came.
Yeah, right.
And Croydon's full of those kind of like big 60s redevelopments. This is what the future's going to be, and then
yeah,
it never
this was going to look like, and then it never gets there. That's really cool, actually. It sounds like a very complicated subject to like look into. But have you read it? Like, was there something that sparked your interest in that initially that an idiot like myself might be able to go, I'm going to read about that?
Yeah, so I'm really interested in, like, I really like, it's kind of like, I really like good music journalism.
Right. I'm sorry about that.
And so, like, people like Mark Fisher, so Mark Fisher had a blog called K-Punk.
Right.
And he's, like, so he's written, like, lots of stuff about music, and he wrote something about, like, he wrote lots about, like, Susie and the Banshees and Roxy Music and stuff like that. So Mark Fisher was kind of one of the people who popularized hauntology, and then like Simon Reynolds as well. So Simon Reynolds has written like lots of really good books on like post-punk, and it's called like Rip It Up and Start Again. So it's it's kind of like back in the glory days of the Enemy, maybe in the 80s, where it was like this thing of like, it wasn't just music, it was kind of cultural criticism. It was really was kind of on the kind of like avant-garde of what was happening kind of culturally and musically.
Yeah, and it's such a thing that's missing. I mean, it's definitely there in like a lot of elements of grime, but like that sort of social side of it is really missing, I think, a lot in today's music, and not necessarily the music, but the way that it's portrayed by the media. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you can't really divorce it, I think, from the kind of socioeconomic, not to get too heavy, but the socioeconomic climate of what's happening and like the way like different music has shifted culturally. And I think that kind of like maybe a lot of guitar music has become more middle class, whereas like sort of like grime and other music is based in like specific working class cultures.
Yeah.
So it kind of has this kind of more sort of like, yeah, more like kind of working class, and it's kind of like, it's a bit more oppositional, a bit more like wants to make a change to the world.
Totally. I'm going to recommend a book to you, actually, if you don't mind, because I think it's something that you'd really enjoy. There's a guest I had on here a few months back called Tim Moore, which is M-O-H-R, and he went to Germany after the fall of the Berlin Wall and like basically told the story of all the punks that helped bring down the Berlin Wall, and it's such an amazing book.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's really great, and he was a really, really interesting guy to talk to. But the book, I've been reading it, and it's absolutely amazing. So yeah, I highly recommend that to you. I can't remember what it's called. Maybe Abby, you can dig up, what was Tim's book called? Can you remember? Burning Down the House, but H-A-U-S, because that's German.
Yeah.
So, what? Talk me through how Friday will go for you. Will it be a fairly a big day for you in terms of, have you got a lot of engagements on? Will you be just having a sort of like celebratory drink for it somewhere? Have you got plans for the release of the album?
Not so much. I think we're going to just like, we've got a gig lined up on the 5th of February, and I think that's going to kind of act as where we like play some of the songs and kind of sort of take that out to people. And that's going to be at Rough Trade East.
Yeah.
Tickets are at $5.
Nice.
Just get the cheeky plug in there.
Yeah, don't even do a cheeky. Let's do a proper full-blown plug for it. £5. And can I get the tickets through the Rough Trade website, or they go through your...
I think it's through Dice.
Through Dice, cool.
Yeah. Okay. So it's, yeah, that's we're going to be on that bill, and that's going to be really cool with some other really cool bands. So yeah, that's going to kind of be that, and then Friday will just kind of be like, get the tapes, get some pictures, send them out, just make sure it's kind of like all over the socials, and just, you know, carry on.
But is it like how long has it been ready to go for you? Like, have you been sitting on it for a little bit, or has it been quite an immediate release from the time that you finished it?
It's been a while. It's just a case of like, it was just kind of like waiting for the right time, and Fear of Missing Out obviously came along and wanted to put it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been great at kind of really helping us out and really kind of getting it to places, and like, I'm very thankful for everything they've done. But it was just kind of a case of like, when you're saying about video editing and you get like hyper focused on stuff doing that, I was very much like that with the album. So it just took, it's probably taken a good couple of years just to kind of finish it, because it was, you just kind of do it and then you go over it and you do more and then you change things. And it's kind of like, I really like, once you're in the studio, using the studio as like an instrument. Like, I really like The Cure, and like Robert Smith talks about that a lot, where you kind of, you almost take things into the studio slightly unfinished and then you see where they go.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, giving yourself some options to expand, or
it's just like, you might find like, we found like someone had left a really nice Gretsch guitar in the studio, and then we were just messing around with it, and then we just wrote a whole new part just there and then and recorded it.
That's brilliant. Yeah, amazing that things like that can happen. And did you leave the guitar there, or did you siphon it off into your own?
We were very reluctant to touch it after we googled how much it was worth. So then after that, we kind of just put it back and just pretended we'd never seen it in our lives.
Okay, we'll edit that bit out when they put it up on the website, in case anyone comes looking for you. So tell us as well a little bit about the limited edition cassettes that you've got to commemorate the album's release.
Yeah, so we're releasing 50 cassettes of it, and I kind of really like cassettes, like, as someone who's kind of like, I'm obsessed with like sort of analog things, and like,
yeah, right.
I like digital because you can do more with it, but analog, there's just something about it.
It gives
things like a time and a place, and like, it gives things like
some hauntology almost.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I really like that. So we've got 50 cassettes coming out on Fear of Missing Out Records. They apparently look really good. We're just getting them posted to us, and then we can post them out to other people.
Okay.
But yeah, they're meant to look really good, and we've just kept it quite simple. Like, we've done the art. My friend Vanity Scar Art did some art for it, and then she's like,
What kind of art does she do?
Just like street art.
Okay.
So she's done like lots of different street art. Vicky, she's done like lots of different stickers and stuff. So like, if you go around to like anywhere, there's lots of street art, I think you'll see one of her stickers.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah, it was really cool to work with her on that. So like, we kind of worked together. I was like, how about this? And then she'd do some elements, and then we'd kind of mess around with them and then see where we got to.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Well, we are going to play Barely Awake, which is how we got talking about the coffee in the first place. Mm-hmm. So tell us a bit about that track specifically, Josh.
Yeah, so that was kind of like, that's one that's kind of been lingering around for a few years. It was just kind of basically a very short, intense relationship that was very short, but very like,
left a mark.
Yeah, at the time, yeah, it was kind of like, you know, when you just meet someone out of the blue, and then it just like, just go on a very short whirlwind, and then it kind of all sort of like, ends as quickly as it started, and then you're just kind of like, what happened there? And then it's like, yeah.
Where did they come from? Where'd they go?
Yeah.
Where are they?
Yeah.
Are they coming back? All those things. Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense listening to it, actually. Well, it's been a delight to have you in. I'm really, really been enjoying all the stuff that I've heard, and we'll keep playing your stuff on the show. And yeah, best of luck with the album coming out.
Cool, thank you.
And I'm really looking forward to the album being out and seeing what people make of it. So I'm going to let you introduce it, actually, and then you're free to go back to the depths of South London. Cool. So, over to you.
Yeah, thanks. This is our new single, Alex Chiltown, Barely Awake.
Hey, what's up? This is Kurt Vile. Tune in to Joey Page's show every Wednesday on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, so that was the fantastic Alex Chiltown, a.k.a. Joshua, which is in the studio. As we said, the album Eulogies is out this Friday, so make sure you check that out. And if you are into cassettes, there's 50 limited edition ones available of those on Fear of Missing Out Records. Shortly, very, very shortly indeed, I am really looking forward to having these guys in the studio. Japanese Television are coming in to have a chat with me. But before that, let's play something else from my list of people that I am hot on for 2020. I've even dug out some little sound effects. Let's see if any of these sound like they might be something that would accompany the words Future Shock. No, that's for the other thing. And let's have a look at this. Ah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for another one of my Future Shock records. Big things for 2020. Not bad, considering I just found that rummaging around in the bin of the music system here. This is a Deep, Deep Water. They were on the show in October. And this is another one that's made it onto my Driving Across America playlist. I love this song so much. It's called Something in the Water. And yeah, they're fantastic. So if you've not heard them, check them out. On the other side of this, we will have Japanese TV in the studio.
Oh,
There we go. That is Deep, Deep Water and Something in the Water. Right, I'm very excited to have these guys in the studio. They, their Spotify output is the backtrack, the soundtrack to quite a lot of my, like, it's been quite nice to do some of my tax returns, this, because it makes a very, very dull job feel quite psychedelic and exciting and magical. When it's literally just going through bank statements going, oh God, do you remember when you got drunk there? Do you remember when you got drunk there? So that's where I am with it. But yes, Japanese television. Welcome to the studio, Tim, Ian and Alex. How you doing?
Hello, not bad.
Hey, all good, mate. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. So, I know that you guys formed from the ashes of three other psychedelic bands, that you all came from different bands into this one. So, yeah, tell us a bit about how you guys, like, had you all gigged with each other beforehand and then that's how you got into bands, or was you friends outside and you was all in different bands, or what's the score? How did Japanese television start?
Well, I'm not the one to answer this really, because I was the other three were all in the three bands
this
band. Yeah, we don't have the drummer with us today, Al.
So we've got Al and Alex. I've got that's it.
So no, me, Alex the bassist, and Al the drummer were in three different bands.
We
all sort of played in the same little scene, didn't we? I was in a band called Nightjars, you were in Sunlight Service Group.
Correct.
Yeah.
Why did you laugh almost? I'm not sure if that was like a rueful laugh there from you.
Because we sort of put out a story that is not exactly true. So now when we actually try and come up with the story that might be true, we can't remember it, basically. So it's, yeah.
Well, also, there's not a great deal of, obviously, being a new band and stuff, it's quite hard to, you have to do a lot of digging for you guys. So it doesn't help to put out stuff that isn't true on top of that. For someone that's also not very good at finding stuff out about people.
I think that is generally true, right?
Yeah.
The story, I mean, you were, like, you can prove that all you three were in those bands. So it's not like that's on record.
But our three bands sort of played together and gigged together for years, and then all three of them broke up at roughly the same time.
Right.
Sort of brought the three of us together. We were a three-piece for a bit, but we weren't very good. And then, Ian joined with all of his harps and keyboards and pedals and stuff, and then it all finally gelled a bit, didn't it?
I met Ian. Me and Ian were doing... It was more session work for me, because I was asked to do it on last minute, but we were playing with a Canadian band called Flowers of Hell, and we were on tour, and me and Ian got talking about music, and we liked the same kind of music, and then that was part of the idea, but Ian didn't actually join until the end, so he's the last person to join. So.
Now, the fact that Tim said he's got loads of nice harps and pedals and stuff made me worry that you just saw him unloading a van and thought, we need that guy, he's got all the gear.
I'm mainly into the gear and the kind of music thing. Yeah. That's a sideline.
But maybe I'm looking in the wrong places, right, but I find it pretty difficult to find good new psychedelic bands. Am I looking in the wrong places? Because I really try and champion that on here, but I find it so difficult amongst the dirge of, sort of middle class guitar playing in the
US. You're right.
There doesn't seem to be like a place where it converges. I know, and I'm going to talk to you at length about something that I was gutted to miss out on going to the psychedelic festival in Lewis, because I was genuinely trying to make that.
Yeah, that was fucking brilliant.
But, there's no... I should be asking you this off here, it seems so unprofessional, but can you recommend good places in terms of online blogs or stuff? Because I find it so difficult to find good quality
Japanese
stuff.
Japanese television at Bandcamp, no.
I kind of find it's like a knock-on effect if you search for a band and then...
I'm forever going down, the Spotify rabbit hole of people that like that band, but it still just feels like there's no hub.
Yeah, the easiest thing is there's just loads of good promoters out there, so you may find out them by going to live shows and catching support bands and things like that, don't you?
Yeah, and there's quite a few festivals that they say festivals are psychedelia.
Popping up
Portsmouth last year.
Yeah,
that was really good.
Yeah.
Some sort of, it was quite a broad range of stuff. So sort of stuff that you would think is a sort of pushing out the sides of psych,
But sort of got a sort of one foot in and one foot out.
Exactly.
Tell us about the Lewis Psychedelic Festival. Am I right? I think TVAM was
headlining. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a television sheen scheme. Yeah.
Television theme.
Theme, that's what I was looking for. Yeah. TV AM, Japanese television. No, it was really, really nice. It was in this, I don't know how do you say it, like a church. There's no church anymore. Yeah, deconsecrated. Like, this great big church with all the great stained glass windows. And yeah, there was this guy called Chris. Was it Innerstrings, is it?
Innerstrings.
His thing, doing visuals. So it was all 60s style oils and water and projections and stuff. And,
nice.
then he was filming us and then sort of messing with the film of that and projecting that behind us.
And
it,
is there,
it looked fucking incredible.
Is there any footage of that that people can have a look at? Of you guys specifically?
There's a bunch of it all over Twitter, I think. And Instagram and stuff. So yeah, anything that we're tagged into.
Yeah, great. I have a good look at that. But yeah, I originally was planning to go to it and then I had to work, but I was really gutted that I missed it because it was right up my street.
It's an amazing festival, like one of the best, I think. Best, well, we were saying best gig we've probably ever played.
Yeah, I reckon.
And you've got loads of gigs coming up throughout February, which we'll touch on in a minute. But I just wanted to get on to the subject that I'm sure you probably have to cover quite a lot. But the decision to be a purely instrumental band. So what was it that made you decide to go down that road as opposed to having a singer or lyrics? Or
I mean, I've always like listened to a lot of instrumental music, and we'd all been, well, I've been in bands with singers all the, like, I've never been in a purely instrumental band. And it was the instrumental sections. I was kind of having more fun playing, basically. No offense to any singer I've had. And when we started out, I think there was an idea that we might get a singer at some point, but it would have to be someone like really special, I guess. Or
I'm free.
Is that right?
No. There's a reason I'm here, and that's because I can't do anything musically. No, that's why I'm on this side.
It more sort of came out of necessity. Like, yeah, we tried finding a few singers, didn't we? And I tried singing on one song, and that wasn't very nice at all. So, but no, after a while, we realised actually it sounded really good without.
Yeah.
And there aren't many instrumental bands out there, but there's a couple of really good ones. Well, those guys we played Portsmouth Psych with.
Which ones?
All girl bands.
Oh, Los Bichos. Yeah, I've had them on the show.
Yeah.
They're great.
They're
as well.
So
and it is it is such a unique selling point now, isn't it? In terms of like, I'm assuming it's really great for business for you guys to be, because there's so few.
Well, it's kind of
instrumental bands.
You can sort of sneak into different like genres. You know, you can play with different bands you can kind of sort of slip in because you're not being sort of, I don't know, like pigeonholed by the singer, basically.
Yeah, right. And also being pigeonholed by the likeness of the singer or the sound of their voice, not that might overshadow the genre that you play. So I also wanted to say, I know it's now, because we're now in 2020 as opposed to 2009, I would say last year, but getting EP of the year from Gideon Coe and Amy LeMay, that's brilliant as well for you guys. So congratulations on that.
Thanks, mate.
A little thing I wanted to say. And it is a brilliant EP as well. And so you've got a lot of exciting stuff coming out in terms of your first two EPs on vinyl and the Mark Riley stuff. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, they're getting a sort of a deluxe reissue.
Yeah, great.
Because first EP was four tracks, second one was six. And then I think we did four tracks for six music. So, yeah, that's all getting pressed on one record.
Amazing. And when's that out?
It's a good question.
28th of Feb.
I'll save up my pocket money as
well,
soon as I get back.
I think we're going to have some available on tour, so you might be able to, if you're coming, if any of the you're going to any of the gigs, then we'll probably have them for sale then.
If you're going to the Victoria on the 6th of February in London, or the Lanes in Bristol on the 7th of February.
Well remembered.
Or the Sunflower Lounge. Yeah, this is just something to my not.
A real fan.
On the 8th of Feb in the Sunflower Lounge, Birmingham. Time Bar Newcastle on the 9th. Flying Duck Glasgow on the 10th of February. Then Edinburgh on the 11th. Halifax.
Yeah.
The road less trodden. Where my next guests I've got on the show are actually from Halifax.
If they've got, you know, 100 friends, they could get to buy tickets. That would help us.
The Orioles, I'll tell them to send all their friends down to the Lantern in Halifax. The 13th, you're in Leeds. On the 14th, don't forget to take a date. It's Valentine's Day. You're in Nottingham. And Hope and Marin on the 15th in Brighton. So yeah. Some of those, hopefully you will have some.
Yeah, it's a stipulation of Al's, because he's from Leeds, that we play two dates in Yorkshire every time we tour, just so he gets one over on the rest of us. Like,
gets to see some family, that kind of thing,
yeah, exactly.
Go to some old haunts. And why not? Now, are you going to be doing, like, have you got festival plans as well for this summer? I'm mainly asking some away for all of these dates, and that's annoyed me.
Yeah. Well, we did just pass a truck festival and the tramlines office, yeah. So we might pop in. And
I will pass that every week. You think I should pop in and talk to
them? Yeah, we'll knock on the door on the way out and stuff with them. No, I don't think anything lined up yet. There might be one down in Portsmouth we're doing, not the Psych Fest, but a different one, hopefully. And then we've got the only booking agent we've got is for Holland, so hopefully. Yeah, hopefully doing a few shows in Holland.
Nice.
Yeah.
We played in Rotterdam a bit ago. Was it 2 months ago? How long ago was it?
October.
That's when it was.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Yeah, that was really good fun.
Yeah, I've never been to Rotterdam, but I bet it's cracking.
It's really nice.
We slide into all the sort of GABA festivals as well, you know, because we're instrumental. It's just put these guys on. It's
outside of going to one of your shows, the record that's out on the 28th, mm-hmm. Where can people get that? Is that going to be widely available? Is it be like in record shops and stuff, or will they have to go through your website, or how can...
No, well, it'll be on Tip Top, their sort of their e-commerce site, our label. Yeah, I don't know what it's called, Greed Bag or whatever. We've probably be something like Rough Trade and Norman Records, they've popped up on as well.
Yeah, Resident Records
your,
of Brighton.
Your local secondhand record shop eventually. You know.
I once, because I do stand-up comedy, and I was like, I wonder what would happen if I like recorded a DVD and then just flooded them into charity shops. And then people would think that, oh, is this what I've never heard of it?
Well, funnily enough, someone wrote to us and said, we've got great to pick up a copy of your EP and that. And it had a dedication to like Stuart McConey inside, because obviously he's just taken it down there.
Straight away. Exactly. So I think he played us on his Freak Zone thing. So usually like our label try and get us to send out a record if someone's played us and like, we'll write thank you on it and all this kind of stuff. He's obviously got it and thought, oh no, fuck these guys, and went and sold it. So yeah.
Thanks, Stuart.
Yeah, thanks for nothing, Stuart. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how true this is, and I don't really know. You haven't come in to talk about this, but apparently him and Mark Riley hate each other.
Oh, so, really?
Did you know that?
Didn't know that,
a show together and they fucking hate each
really?
Other.
Really? Oh, well, Riley's...
And Riley, I think if you Riley's listen to it, you can tell. Someone said...
Isn't that Radcliffe, though? Not Riley.
Radcliffe and Marconi, yeah.
They hate each other,
they do a show together.
Well, I'm with Radcliffe on this one.
Coney can do one.
Yeah, he could do one, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
You think he wouldn't even have time to take all this stuff to the charity shop with all these books he's writing as well?
That's the last time we're getting played in the free game. We've blown that one.
Unfortunately, I don't think he's listening to me, so I think you're probably fine. it's been such a pleasure having you on, and I really like yourself, so I was really thrilled you could come on, and I'm definitely going to come and catch you live when I get back from America somewhere. And
Can you not make the Victoria show?
No, I'm literally. So basically, all the listeners will be groaning at this. I talk about this every week. But I'm going on my honeymoon. I'm driving across America for a month.
Congratulations.
That's a good enough excuse.
But also, you're on the car playlist for it's going to go down a treat on the old desert drives. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's people do say, like, I mean, you're saying about doing your tax return.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but I'm trying to work because the words aren't there.
A friend of mine like makes jewellery and stuff, and he's saying like it's good music to work to because there's no vocals distracting you, so you just sort of just get on with stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very good like productivity music. Not that we aim it for it to be, but like, you know, it's a bonus.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to maybe worm its way. Might start interviewing people with your tracks in the background.
Yeah, use it as a bed. Yeah. Absolutely.
But so tell us before we let you go, I just want to know about like, is it, how do you come up with the ideas for tracks? Because obviously I suppose like normally bands would use like a subject matter as a focal point. I'm not suggesting that you guys are any different, but does it come more from jamming, or does somebody come in with like an idea of something they've seen and then interpret that through music, or how do you guys work when you're putting a track together?
usually just one of us sort of brings an idea in, don't we? Brings a riff in, bass line or guitar line, or Ian has something on his keyboard, and then we'll just build it up from there. And that is a good thing about having a singer, because our songs don't really have to be about anything.
Yeah,
we can just pretend they are afterwards.
Usually we find like a paperback in there, because we do all our recording in a village hall. We go to the paperbacks. There's like a big sort of like secondhand, well, I think they're like just giving him away, more or less.
Well, I hope so, otherwise you've just been stealing them.
It's a book page on there.
It's meant to be a book exchange, I think. You take a book and bring
a
book in.
Find some Road Deal paperback with like a sort of whole.
One of Stuart McConaughey's books, leave that on the side of there.
My Story by Stuart McConaughey. And then that's how Bloodworm and Slime came about.
Oh, cool.
And then I thought I'd better read the books because, I can. And they're rubbish. Wow. Bloodworm's all right, but Slime is terrible.
Now, before I let you go, we have got a little quiz that I want to do.
All right.
So I hope that you guys will indulge me on this.
Can I have some more of your chocolate?
Oh, yeah, have as much as you want. Because
Joe's got chocolate lying around everywhere.
I literally...
It's like Christmas in here.
I literally don't want to look terrible in my honeymoon Instagram pics, but I feel like it's going to happen one way or the other. Take it with you, eat as much as you can. So we've got a game, funnily enough, about Japanese television. Okay, so it's dead simple. Basically, can you tell me if these are real or fake things that have happened on Japanese television? Has anyone ever done this to me before?
No.
I imagine someone must have done this somewhere. So you can discuss it. You can all have your own answer because there's only three of you. Whether it's real or fake, we'll just take the majority, right? A football match between three international football players and 100 school children happens every year on New Year's Day on Japanese TV. 90 kids play outfield whilst the remaining 10 play in goal against three Japanese international footballers. Is that a real Japanese TV show or a fake one?
That sounds legit.
I'm going legit.
I reckon that's completely real.
Yeah, you got that right?
Hey.
Okay.
Right.
Number two, a participant has to eat a bowl of noodles while sitting inside an active washing machine. Real or fake item from a Japanese TV show?
It'd have to be quite a big washing machine, wouldn't it? Or a small person.
Yeah.
Even though I've seen some pretty crazy stuff, I reckon health and safety would not allow that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think well,
I'm going fake.
Definitely a choke hazard.
You're all going fake.
Spill your noodles everywhere.
Okay.
It's probably real.
It's a real one. Okay.
Unbelievable.
Two girls blow into a transparent test tube containing a cockroach. The girl who makes her competitor eat the insect wins.
I think I've seen this, and it's real.
It is real.
Yeah.
It's from AK Bingo, starring girl band AKB48.
Oh, yeah.
You'll probably be doing a festival with them at
some
point.
Yeah.
Good mates of us. Yeah.
Okay. A sitcom where a man buys a second-hand car only to discover that it's the reincarnation of his deceased mother.
It's not really, should
I'd like to see it, so why not?
That sounds more English to me.
Are you saying real or fake?
I'm saying real.
I reckon real. Yeah, so real carries it.
Alex, you were saying fake. Alex, you would be right. But the good news is, it is real, but not in Japan. It's an American show called My Mother, The Car, which I think we will all be watching as soon as we leave the studio today. Final one, a game show in which contestants must sing karaoke whilst being given hand jobs.
Oh, yeah, this is so
if they score above 90, they receive $7,000.
Yeah, you two said yes way too quickly.
Read about it in a broadsheet newspaper.
And I sent in the link.
It is real. It's from a show called Sing What Happened, which really puts the masked singer to shame over here. Guys, it's been a lot of fun having you in. What's the name of the vinyl that's coming out at the end of the month of all the EPs?
It's EP1, EP2, Deluxe Edition, or J- Jalux.
How do you pronounce that?
I always say Jalux.
Jalux is
paint.
Got that lucrative
special special edition.
Special edition. Great. Well, I will definitely be laying my hands on a copy of that. And
we'll send you one. Don't worry.
Yeah, just don't give it away.
Yeah, just don't
take it to any charity shop.
Just don't write my name in it. No, it's been a lot of fun having you in, Alex. If I see you wandering around the same hometown as me, I'll bristle my moustache at you. And thank you so much for coming on. We are going to play. I've lost it. Where's it gone? I know it's in here, but I can't see it. Oh, there it is. Lizard Moon, of course, Japanese television. Anything you want to say about it? Which book paperback did you get that out of?
I think Tim came up with the title for that.
No, I think it was Alex, wasn't it?
It was a working title that stuck, so that's probably why sounds like that.
Well, let's all just shut our eyes and listen and imagine the Lizard Moon. Japanese television, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be fine of your work.
Thanks for having us,
Yeah. After this, we've got the Orioles in the show. We'll be able to fucking speak. I've had too much coffee and chocolate. There we go. Fantastic Japanese television. Almost as fantastic as the things you find on Japanese television. They were my guests just now. And very much looking forward to that EP 1 and 2 deluxe LP coming out with the sessions for another radio station that we won't name. Okay, so very shortly on the show, I'm going to be joined by the Orioles on the phone, on the show, live here in your ears, unless you're listening in the past or the future. But before that, let's have another little piece of Future Shock. Okay, this next band that I'm going to play is also someone that we've had on the show, but boy, are they something else. On the same... Shut up! On the same record label as Sports Team, our good friends, and a band that we love very much, but a completely different entity, Walt Disco, like the shiny, androgynous disco ball brother of Sports Team. They basically just make the most astounding music. When I text my wife and my best friend Jimmy about them, I basically said that they were like a cross between Bowie and the Horrors and the Future. And yeah, I think that's a very accurate description. This song's called Dancing Shoes Won't Fix My Mind. Get ready to be jolted into the future. This is Walt Disco. You're listening to Joey Page on FUBAR Radio. That Walt Disco, Dancing Shoes Won't Fix My Mind. It's the Joey Page Show on FUBAR Radio. Only time it's clear to me. It's the future of music, everyone. Right. Speaking of the future of music, I'm so excited to be speaking to my next guest. Their new song is burrowing a massive, great, big psychedelic hole in my brain, and I love it. It's time to welcome Sid from the Orioles onto the show. Sid, are you there?
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm so excited that you could come on. I'm such a big fan of your stuff. I saw you guys a long time ago. You were supporting Baxter Jury when he was doing like a secret show to test out stuff for his last album. So we're talking a few years, but a long time ago. And I was like, these guys are so cool. And then your album came out, which was brilliant. And now your new stuff is just blowing me away. Like, you found some amazing, different inspiration. And it's very rare that when somebody's second album is about to come out that you are way more excited for it than their first, with their first one also being so brilliant. So yeah, I can't wait, and really glad to have you on the show. So now we've got all that out of the way, how are you? What's going on?
Pretty good. Just been chilling today so far. We've got like a band practice later, so
nice. And where do you practice? Like, have you got a place that you always go to, or when you're practicing, do you move around? Have you got a certain rehearsal space? Is it in someone's house? What kind of thing are we talking?
We've got a pretty dull, bog standard rehearsal space in Manchester. It's just like, yeah, we own it, so we pay as much as I pay for rent.
Yeah, right.
Which is ridiculous, but we can kind of go whenever we want and stuff. But it's just your standard, plain, old, boxy space, I guess.
Any inspirational, like, scrawlings on the wall, or any posters up, anything like that, or is it just literally a little black box?
It's at the moment a little black box. I've not been there very long, and we've kind of just been using it more as like a space to like dump our gear, because we only got it towards the end of like last year, so
okay,
we've not really had much time to fully like make it our own, but there's plans to do that for sure.
Nice. Well, I don't know where to start. I think I want to start with, I've got a question about fish for you, right? Because I've noticed a little bit of a theme. I don't know if it's on purpose. And I know that through reading some of your stuff, because I had to look up what a Volador was, right? From the title of the album, Disco Volador.
Yeah. And
you guys have said that it's like a sort of a frisbee kind of UFO-y kind of, it means it's like a Spanish interpretation of flying disc, but also apparently it's a type of flying fish. Did you know that?
Someone actually mentioned that the other day, and that was the first we'd heard of it.
Right, yeah. But then your first album, Silver Dollar Moments, Silver Dollar is a fish. I've read somewhere that in your little sort of language that you've sort of coined as a band, that you call trousers trout. So what's going on with all the fish business?
I don't know, actually, because none of us actually eat fish. So
I don't
know.
I don't even think they're fish you can eat. Like, I think that you've gone for some quite tropical, rare ones. But I was like, are they going to go like a whole career where every album has got some sort of exotic fish in the title somewhere?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that could be a little like Easter egg, like just finding like stupid ways to like get in some sort of fish reference into everything that we do from now on.
And it feels like that would be a real good way for you guys to go. Like, I'm a big fan of all your Instagram content and stuff. Like, it's very, I'd imagine, amongst people that follow the band, it's a very famous little button you've got on there about grapes. You seem like you all just like to amuse yourselves, which is the best way to be when you're in a band full of all your mates, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm like, I like to see your little stories. I'm like, I'm so jealous that I'm not actual friends with those guys, because they seem like a real hoot. So I'm going to make that one of my goals of 2020, to try and like befriend you guys at some point. But tell us about the album, because like I said, the stuff that has come out so far, most notably the latest single, is just stunning and completely, like, it feels like everything you're doing at the moment is just bursting full of different ideas and like pulling in different directions in a really good way. So tell us a bit about like the making of the album and the inspirations that you had for it, if you can even name any of them.
Yeah, sure. Firstly, thanks for enjoying the tune. Yeah, we're super happy with like the second record. It's definitely, we're kind of wearing our influences more visibly, like on our sleeves, so to speak, with this one, I think. Bands like Stereolab, we've been listening to forever, but like more so in the past like few years, and we saw them live a couple of times last year as well over summer, so like they have definitely inspired a lot of this second record.
Cool.
I think as well, like just kind of, yeah, playing so many festivals over last summer and the summer before just kind of meant that we were soaking up all this inspiration from a lot of different places. And
yeah, I read that. It's really cool to read that, like, a band actually goes out and takes note of what else is going on and sort of draws from it rather than becoming quite insular and just focusing on, you know, their own sound. It's really cool that you do that to get inspiration. It's obviously paying dividends for you guys.
Yeah, we kind of liked the idea of, like, we saw a lot of DJs over the summer and we kind of wanted to almost replicate a DJ set with our live set in some way, but still keeping it like a, you know, like a band, like playing instruments and stuff. So we kind of wrote a lot of music that perhaps, like, has moments in which people can like dance to, but then also like moments of reflection in a way. And
yeah, sure,
that's something that we've been quite like massively inspired by for this one as well, I think, just that the idea of almost like tension and release within song, and having moments to let loose to a bit, I guess.
Space Samba feels like it's just waiting to be turned into like some epic, like, end of the set encore track that could go on for like 25 minutes.
Don't even say that, because that's the type of thing we'll definitely do.
No, that's good. That's what you want. That's what we want more of, in my opinion. I think it's great. It is a bit annoying because my wife hasn't quite got hang of the words and she keeps on singing discos on and on, and I'm like, that's not the words. But we'll get there. I know the obviously Bobby's Second World, which feels like it came out years ago now, is of quite well known to be about a cat becoming a lady. So have we got any other out of the tracks that are on there? Have we got any other like mystical, crazy tales of things like that, or anything that what kind of subject matters are being breached on the album other than a cat becoming a lady?
We've still got some quite surreal themes on there, I think, lyrically. We've got a song called Memoirs of Me, so which is also about a cat, more loosely, though, than Bob is. This one's just kind of more about the place in which Esme used to live.
Right.
Like, a kind of like student house and stuff. So, like, and there was a cat, like a stray cat, which they've now kind of, like, taken as their own. Called me, so that's that one. But yeah, kind of, we've got a lot more as well on this new album that are kind of more personal. So there's one called Euro Borealis, which is about the tour that we did in Europe a couple of years ago now, and it's just, yeah, that's a more relatable lyrically, I'd say, than the real songs. You know, it's just about kind of like general, like tour life and kind of meeting new people and going out and playing shows and stuff and exploring new cities.
Nice, yeah. I mean, I love the whole like surreal bent that you guys have gone off on, and not enough bands are playing into that. So I think that's such a, I'm not saying you've done it on purpose, but such a smart angle to come at it from, because no one's really doing that. So, and then to mix it in with the realism, I just can't wait for this album, quite frankly. It's going to be amazing. Also, you're taking our friends of the show Weird Milk on tour with you in America.
Yeah.
So that should be amazing. And you're playing with Everything live at Leeds with Blinders, and also then you've got your own dates in this country. You're doing Newcastle, Stoke, Norwich, Brighton, Bristol, Electric Ballroom, Ritz, and Birmingham Deaf Institute. Institute 2, sorry, not Deaf Institute. So I know obviously the singles that have been out you've been playing those, but how much else of the album have you been able to road test ahead of this tour? Is it going to be like a completely different feel for you guys to play this album, or have you been sort of drip feeding it into your festival sets and stuff?
We kind of started drip feeding a few in towards the end of last year. We had like a few one-off shows just before Christmas to like test out a few new songs, I guess. But I think on this tour we're pretty much aiming to play like the whole record really.
Yeah, and then right.
Like a few of the singles from the last one, and like Sugar Tastes Like Salt and stuff as well. But yeah, we're going to aim to play it all, I think.
Great.
We've just got practice.
Well, I come back from my honeymoon the day before the Electric Ballroom gig, so I'm going to try my very hardest to come to that, because I think it's going to be an amazing gig. As will the whole tour. And I'm sure you guys will be popping up at some festivals in the summer as well again, as you're becoming festival favourites. So you're doing Six Music Festival as well, of course. So, and South by Southwest, you must be looking forward to that.
Yeah, super excited. It'll be our first time playing in the States. So, yeah, very much looking forward to that.
Nice. Well, good luck with it all. I don't even need that, because what you're bringing out at the moment, you guys are on fire. And, yeah, so much looking forward to the album coming out. Thanks for coming on the show and speaking to us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Next time you're down in London, you'll have to pop in for a chat on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, perfect. Well, enjoy the rest of your day off before band practice. And, yeah, good luck with everything. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. No worries. Have a good one.
Yeah, take care. See you later. There we go. Sid from the Orioles. We're now going to play Space Samba, open brackets, Disco Volador theme, close brackets, by the fantastic Orioles. That album is out at the end of February. Space Samba by the Orioles. What a piece of music that is. That is so... I know, obviously, because of the samba, but that's like Wide Awake by Parquet Courts. You just can't not be happy when you hear that. Even like an old curmudgeon like me, you can't not be happy when that comes on. Oh, okay. Time for one more little bit of future shock for today's show. Something else for you to keep an eye out on while I'm away. I love this little thing that I found under this jingle. It's the future shock. I don't even know what that means. I've just been saying it all day. Right. This is Lucia and the Best Boys. It's the first single under that current name before they were just known, or she was known as Lucia. This is Lucia and the Best Boys. This is Good Girls Do Bad Things, and this is dripping in like some cool 80s attitude. So get this down, yeah. Keep an eye on them while I'm away. I'm expecting big things from them in 2020. Go Lucia and the Best Boys. They are doing Great Escape Festival this year, so if you're going down, keep an eye out for them. Also, I want to give just a little honourable mention to some other ones that I want you to look out for that I haven't even had time to get anywhere near playing today. A couple of which are, first of all, Do Nothing, who I had on the show, I think probably in around about November if I had to guess. Who cares? It's on there. You can listen to it somewhere. And they've got a new song out called LeBron James. And they're doing a gig in London in April, and it's already sold out at the Lexington. So they're gonna have a massive, massive year. Great bit of sort of spoken wordy, punky kind of stuff. And when I had them on, one of the nicest chats I think I've had on the show in such a long time. We talked about a lot of things, including Busta Rhymes, for some reason, for quite a length, actually. Also, Two Tribes, who I went to see at the back end of last year. They do a lot of audio-visual stuff, and their most notable track, Videodrome, is a really incredible piece of music. It really reminds me of like early Kasabian mixed with a lot more synths and a lot more length. It's like a 7-minute epic. But yeah, go and check all them out. Check out some of the others that I've played on the show today. Check them all out. Peggy Sue, James Wrighton, Deep Deep Water, my guests today as well, Alex Chilltown, Japanese Television, the Orioles, of course. What an incredibly huge year they're going to have as soon as their album comes out on the 28th. That's your homework while I'm away. Check those bits and pieces. Oh, Walt Disco as well, I forgot to say. Yeah, check all of those out. The Ninth Wave as well. There's so much I didn't get a chance to play. But maybe I might post out my little holiday playlist as well. You can get your teeth around that while I'm away. Put that up on my Instagram at some point. And my Twitter, if I can remember even how to log into it. That's it. I'm going night-nights now. I'm going away for a month. I'll be back in a month. Also, special thanks to producer Abby. It's her last show with me today because she's leaving while I'm away. And has really turned the ship around on this show. Really made it the absolutely brilliant music show that it's become. And without her, I probably still wouldn't be working here, to be honest. She's really made this show amazing. So thanks for all of her work. Will, sorry, you've got to stay. And we're going to have a great new show when I come back, all tanned. Do you get a tan in America in February? I'm going to find out. Enjoy not having to listen to my voice for a month. I'll see you soon. I'm going to leave you with some David Bowie. And, of course, today it's going to be one that is themed for my voyage. Can you guess what it is? It was either going to be I'm Afraid of America or Young Americans. I didn't want it to be I'm Afraid of America because, let's be honest, last time I left the country, I got mugged at knife point. So let's keep it nice and go for Young Americans. It's my David Bowie record of the week, which if you're new to the show, sorry you've got over a month without listening to me, but there's loads of stuff you can listen back to in the back catalogue. And also, we play a David Bowie every week because he's just still so marvellous and important to the music business. Anyway, this is your David Bowie of the week. I've been Joey Page. This is Young Americans. See you later.
These 20 years, do we have to die for the 50 more? Oh, simple, said so loud. Leather, leather, everywhere. And not on this lip from the ghetto. Well, 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 would you carry a pizza? In case, just in case of depression. Sit on your hands on the bus of survivors. Blushing at all the Afro sickness. Make me